Got your Bibles? Let's get to the Word. And if you would with me, would you turn with me to the Bible? We're going to read the whole Bible today. Psalms 116. Even the baby couldn't handle that last comment. Amen. Let me out of here. And I heard that, preacher. I heard that. Yeah, that baby can't take a joke. Amen. So it's all right. We love the babies. Amen. Love the babies. Praise God. Can you look at somebody next to you one more time and just tell them, you know what? You must have been a beautiful baby. Go and look at them. Say, you must have been a beautiful baby. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. You was a beautiful baby. Woo! Beautiful baby. My God. You can tell that by looking at you now. Amen. Beautiful. Handsome. Amen. Praise God. I mean, all babies are beautiful, male or female. It doesn't matter, boy or girl. Matter of fact, they're so beautiful, I can't tell a boy from girls sometimes. Amen. They're just so, it seems like the glory of God is on our children. Amen. On the children. All right. Psalms 116. Psalms 116, verse 7 and 8, two verses. If you will, when you get it, if you'll stand with me, if you would like, we'd like to honor the author of the book. Amen. If you would like to remain seated, you can honor him that way also. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 116. Hallelujah. The psalmist here is declaring in the verses before that he had faced death in some way. And how many know we all face death in different ways? Thank God for life. I bind death and I speak life. Whenever I see death, I bind it. Whenever I hear an ambulance, a siren, I stop just for a moment. I may keep doing what I'm doing, but I'll stop intentionally and say, I bind death in that situation and speak life. I never know who that is. It doesn't matter who that is. It only matters that God hears our prayers and that we speak life in the midst of death and death-like situations. So the psalmist here is really exulting, and he was frightened. He was sad. He cried. He said, Lord, save me. I mean, oh, that's a great prayer in the third and fourth verse, and how kind he is, how good he is, how merciful he talks about the Lord and how he protects the simple and the childlike. And he says, I was facing death, and then he saved me. Has anybody ever faced death and he saved you? My God. And you know, those, sometimes we faced it and we didn't even know it. How many times has the angel of the Lord preserved us and saved us? Amen. Kept us, and we didn't even realize how close we were sometimes. But the psalmist here knows how close he is. And in verse 7 and 8, after he says, verse 7, it says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. This is one of my most favorite verses that I quote often and thank the Lord. Would you say it with me? For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I like to pray that when I sense danger around, when I sense that something is trying to make me fall, amen, trying to bring tears and grief to my life. I begin to confess, no, bless the Lord, amen, who saves me, amen, who has delivered my soul from death and mine eyes from tears and my feet from falling. Glory to God. That's what God does and wants to do more and more for you and for me. And then in verse 10 and 11, and I want to go back, and he says, in my discouragement I thought, they are lying when they say I will recover. But now, what can I offer Jehovah for all he has done, living Bible, for me? I will bring him an offering and praise his name for saving me. Amen. Living Bible says in verse 7, now I can relax. Well, somebody shouted again, now I can relax. Some of you have to prophesy that over yourself because you're lying. You know you can't relax with what's going on, but you're speaking the things that are not as though they were, as Abraham did. Amen? We speak those things which are not as though they were. And so we declare by faith now, someone say now, right now, I can relax. Whatever my situation, whatever I'm facing, whatever, even death-like situation, I can relax. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. God's helping somebody relax. You've been stressed out. You've been stressed up. Stressed out. Now I can relax. He says, for the Lord has done this wonderful miracle for me. I may believe God will also do wonderful miracle for you. He has done, he will continue to do, and he will yet do. Oh, my, I feel that. Yeah, I'm not just hyping you. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost quickening my spirit. And when you feel the goosebumps, you know I'm speaking truth. Because it ain't cold in here. Amen. He says, now the Lord has done this wonderful miracle, and there are miracles happening for you, and he has saved me from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He, too, is saving you and saving me. Because he has special things for each and every one of us in these last days before his coming. Heavenly Father, let's agree together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the presence of the Lord that we feel in this place. We thank you for your wonderful presence. You said in your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Lord, we thank you. You are Christmas. And we rejoice and celebrate you. We thank you for what you're doing in this time of the year. Lord, we know the stresses and the pressures are enormous for many, but we thank you. You have a word for us today. Thank you for your word. You are the living word. Come and feed us bread of heaven. Come and bless us now with this manna, we pray, that will take us throughout this month and into the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Can I give you a sneak preview of the new year? If I'm not careful, I'll preach the message because I'm so excited about it. We had about 10 guys, 11 guys in the men's breakfast yesterday. God has really been anointing that and blessing that, and we appreciate all the guys that were able to be it there. But God has made it clear that my guy that does our podcast, I said, what's the word for the new year? And I said, Lord, what's the word for the new year? Because I don't have a word. God has a word. And God gave me three words. He said, victory, victory, victory. Ta! Said, last year has been a year of battle, this year. But the coming year is going to be a year of victory. Oh, man, I'm already getting it to you. He gave me a beautiful verse that I didn't think would go with it. Was given, it shall be given. Pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. God's given me a word on seeds. All the seeds you planted. Amen. All the giving that you've done. Oh, my God. And you haven't seen the harvest yet. But I'm telling you, this coming year, it's going to be an outpouring. Just mark it down. I got a message coming on it. But I want to tell you, God is going to press it down and shake it together and run it over. Watch his church. Watch this church. Huh, Barbara? Yeah. Watch what God is doing here. My God, I feel it in my sanctified soul. Great. I got to leave that for New Year's. Glory to God. I got the word today because we can't get ahead of ourselves. Amen. I just wanted to just prime the pump and let you know that even though this year's been a year of battle, next year, year of victory for you and for me and for the church and the living God. Amen. 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 I don't know about the world. The world is in trouble. The Lord spoke a word directly. I didn't take much of a word, but I heard the voice of Jesus in my spirit said, America is in trouble. I wrote it down. And I said, yes, Lord, America is in trouble. But God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, if they'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, their sins, I will forgive their sin. That's good right there. But then he says, I'll heal their land. You know the verse. So we have a lot to do with what's going on. Amen. Isn't it great? God's given us a part of that. And you're all a part of that. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that are a part of the answer to the dilemma in our world today. Amen. Dilemma is an understatement. The Bible calls it perilous times. And we talked about that some time back. Let's get to the message today. Now I can relax. And as I said, we love that Christmas favorite. It's the most beautiful time of the year, or should be. Is it really? For a lot of folks, it's not today, to be honest with you. And I don't want to get into all that because we're praying for folks that have suffered some terrible things. And it's bad enough to suffer those things, but especially before the celebration of the birth of Christ. Thank God that there's a comforter. Thank God that the comforter is here. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. And you that have lost loved ones, there's many in this congregation that have lost mothers, fathers, loved ones, brothers, sisters, whatever it might have been. And God who is comforting us. And there are always those that have lost loved ones. There's always a place missing at the table and around the tree. But how many know that we're going to a place where nobody's going to be missing? We're going to be together again. And we're going to celebrate the one who hung on that tree and rose again. Amen. And I look forward to that time, but we speak comfort to you at this time of the year because there are many times mixed emotions, are there not? Amen. Yes, we have memories and of all the past Christmases and times together. For many, Christmas is the favorite season of the year, as I said. What is there not to love about the sights and the sounds and the smells and the smiles of this season? The irony at Christmas is that it can also be the most stressful time of the year. In one of my devotions dated December 1st, with a heading entitled, Less Stress Equals More Rest. Quoting from the paragraph, can I quote it to you? Amen. It says, studying U.S. death data from 1979 to 2004, a team of researchers at the University of California, San Diego, found that Americans are more likely to die over the holidays, including fatal events on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, than at any other time of the year. That should be enough to encourage anyone to slow down and enjoy a stress-free Christmas this year. Amen. And then I saw another in the Antelope Valley Press, the religious section yesterday, of the Antelope Valley Press. Maybe you saw it. Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. His weekly question and answers entitled, Kids' Sense of Entitlement Takes Joy Out of Christmas. And I won't read the whole thing. We've made copies for you for the answers they gave, but I'll read the question. Is that okay? The question was this. I feel like I'm fighting an uphill battle with my kids when it comes to entitlement, and Christmas only makes things worse. A season I once cherished has become something I look forward to as much as a root canal. For a lot of people, they kind of wonder, how can we slow this train down a little bit? How can we make it less stressful? We want to talk about that this morning. And Jim's answer to that, Jim Daly from Focus on the Family, he said, I think there are many parents who share your frustration. Entitlement. You know what I'm talking about. I want this. And if you don't get them that, okay, we better not go there. That'll steal Christmas. Can I speak? There was two questions there. The second question, you'll get the answer out there if you'd like to get the answer, especially you parents. Question two was, somehow our family has fallen into a pattern of needing to top, quote, the previous holiday season. My kids seem to expect a bigger and better Christmas, and it always falls on me to make it happen. How many can say it falls on you to make it happen? Frankly, I don't have the energy. Can you help me out? Anybody with me? Greg Smalley answers this question. I won't read the answer, but I'll just tell you just a part of what he said from the vice president there from Family Ministry. He said, there are plenty of us who know exactly what you're talking about. It seems our culture is trending away from the simple and toward the extravagant in almost every area of life. Outrageous birthday parties, theatrical marriage proposals, grandiose weddings and over-the-top events of all kinds have become the norm. As you've experienced, it's an unhealthy expectation that creates a lot of unnecessary stress. Unhealthy expectation that creates that unnecessary stress. When it comes to Christmas, I believe there's a better way. Amen. We want to talk about that better way this morning. Is that all right? As we're heading towards Christmas, and here we're in the first Sunday of the month of December, I believe God has drawn my attention. In your bulletin there, if you will take out the third, the second insert there. Yeah. The middle one, number two. No, not don't see what I see, no. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I might get stressed just seeing what you see. Amen. While you're getting that out, I'm leaving the other two for your reading enjoyment and spiritual edification. There is another irony at Christmas, and its attraction can become a distraction. Amen. We love the lights and the celebration, the food and the fun, but if we're not careful, say if we're not careful, these things can distract us from the true reason for the season. And so in this, our first Sunday of December, a Christmas message, we're going to talk about clarity, seeing Jesus in spite of the things that divert our attention. Amen. Away from him. Good. To help us out, I have put Dr. David Jeremiah's three-part Christmas special, which you just saw entitled A Midnight Clear, in all of your bulletins today. In it, you'll find, as you probably already have, three subjects. I want to just mention them quickly that give us clarity about life. Somebody shout clarity. We sure need some clarifying, do we not? Things are all jumbled up. With favorite Christmas titles entitled, the first, as you see there, is Do You See What I See? Clearly seeing Jesus. Number two is the one we're going to look, the Lord willing, today. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Clearly seeing yourself and myself. And number three, frosted window panes. Clearly seeing others. And there with that little word is a frosted window pane challenge list, helping us all to see the world and those around us more clearly, hopefully in this season. Is that all right? And so I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit today and want to do a little something different this morning. I'd like to share number two with you. And, of course, leaving the other two for you to be blessed in your quiet time. Amen. Have you all got it? All right. Dr. David Jeremiah shares with us. One snowy day in the 1940s, Robert White was working as a bellhop at the Grand Hotel in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. How many even know where that's at? How many didn't know there was a Nova Scotia? When a stranger showed up, the man was a songwriter needing peace and quiet. The Grand Hotel seemed the perfect spot. It was decorated for Christmas. And across the street, Frost Park, was a winter wonderland with a beautiful Christmas tree of its own. The trees were bedecked for the season, and the local five and dime overflowed with candy canes. The man left a few days later, and a couple of years later, a popular new Christmas song hit the charts. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Meredith Wilson, the Broadway composer of The Music Man, wrote of a tree in the Grand Hotel and one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. Robert White is convinced his mysterious guest was none other than Meredith Wilson, and that the song is a holiday description of picturesque Yarmouth on the Bay of Fundy. We may never know. How many like to go to that bay, Fundy? Sounds fun, doesn't it? That's probably just because of their New England. Okay. We may never know because Wilson passed away before revealing his inspiration, but his words strike a chord within us wherever we live. Even here in Southern California, where sturdy trees never see snow, I can't help singing these words to myself as I see holiday decorations going up. Amen. How many of you already found yourself singing that? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I know I have already. Amen. As the decorations have been going up. The problem is, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas earlier and earlier. The Christmas season comes too soon for me now. Our accelerated calendar isn't driven by a spiritual emphasis, but by economic factors. Amen. Christmas is the peak season for retailers. Economists have coined the term Christmas creep for the way retailers keep moving up the holiday season. I remember when we didn't even think of Christmas tidings until December. How many can remember that? And then came Black Friday. Now it's Black Thursday. Amen. Then stores began opening on Thanksgiving. And now Hallmark Channel's countdown to Christmas movie schedule begins in October. Yay! How many love the Hallmark Channel, the Christmas stories? I must confess, I love them. My wife watches them, but she hooked me. She hooked me. I love stories that end well. Amen. And they lived happily ever after. Amen. Hallelujah. Not they were doomed forever. Amen. I don't like those stories. Hallelujah. All right. So you're all aware of this. I'm just preaching to the choir, looks like, right here. Large stores begin their promotions in September, and theme parks begin putting up decorations in August. Well, I don't know. They celebrate Halloween at some of the theme parks. I mean, Knox Scary Farm, isn't that what it is? Yeah. It's not Scary Farm? No, it's Knox. Okay. But some of them begin to put things up in August. All this leaves a lot of room for Christmas fatigue. Huh? Putting the brakes on an accelerated Christmas. It's time to slow down a little. Huh? So we can enjoy Christmas and rediscover its meaning. It wouldn't hurt us to tap the brakes and relish the trip. By giving it some forethought, we can bypass the Christmas frenzy. Lord, give us the forethought. Amen. We need time for reflection. Somebody say reflection. For rest. God knows that. And for contemplation. Yeah, contemplating. That's not humming looking at your belly button. Amen. Just want to make sure we're celebrating the right holiday here. Amen. Hallelujah. Consider this. Just consider it. Amen. You don't have to, but consider it like you. Our Heavenly Father planned every detail of the first Christmas in advance. And he recorded his plans in the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. The Christ child arrived right on schedule, according to the foreknowledge of the Father. The Bible says he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and for me, 1 Peter 1:20. If God planned the first Christmas in advance, shouldn't we follow his example and do some planning on our own? Acts 20:28 says, take heed to yourselves. Christmas can be a wonderful time of worship and witness. But we have to see ourselves and our circumstances clearly. We can't lose ourselves in the chaos. We need to take heed to ourselves and to those for whom we're responsible. Amen. The ABCs are A is for attitude. Don't you hate the attitude? Anybody sometimes says attitude? Yeah. Yeah. But this is good. This begins with a worshipful attitude. I mean, no, that's a good attitude. Matthew 2:11 says of the Magi, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. The most important thing this season is seeking a spiritual connection to Jesus. The most important thing is seeking a spiritual connection with Jesus. The most important thing is seeking a spiritual connection with Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship involves being still and knowing he is God. It includes exulting in the wonder of who he is an expression, expressing our wonder in praise and prayer. It's hard to do that when our days are spinning and wobbling around the Christmas tree like a toy top. Perhaps a little downsizing of our plans is in order. I read about a man who had lit up his lawn with thousands of lights for a quarter century. Cars lined up for blocks to see the sight. But now he's calling it quits. His nervous system can't keep up with the pressure. He sold all his equipment, thousands of lights, signs, sleighs, animated figures, village houses, and so forth, and used the money to offset the medical bills caused by the stress of the production. I may know that's a bit overdoing things. I don't want to discourage you from decorating for Christmas. Amen. For some of us may need to scale back, but some of us may need to scale back our plans so we can have a more worshipful season. Have you sensed something different about this Christmas? I have. It's more serious. It's more contemplative with our world and the things that are happening and where we are in our own lives. I just feel like we're starting to possibly think about some things that we haven't thought before because we just go through the motions and do what we have to do. Amen. We do that starting with what? Before Thanksgiving. And then it just morphs into Christmas. so we have a more. Maybe we need to scale back our plans so we can have a more worshipful season. I didn't say you had to. I said maybe we can look and find a place where we can scale back. Amen? Amen. Let's look at it for a moment. B is for boundaries. Scaling back on the externals of the season enables us to set boundaries, to budget our time and money, and to say no when necessary. Huh? What don't you understand about no? I mean, I can tell my kids no, they don't pay any attention to no. No means yes. The Bible said they would call evil good and good evil. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we need to say no when necessary. Amen? I mean, no, that's hard for some of us. Especially us, or should I say people pleasers? We're God pleasers, but who doesn't want to please others too? Amen? I don't get up every morning and say, hey, how can I ruin your day today? You know, it's a lousy day for me. I think I'm going to mess yours up, you know? Scrooge, bah, humbug, amen. Yeah. Lord God. I mean, no, there was even hope for Scrooge. There was hope for Scrooge. There's hope for us, you would think. Thank you, brother. That's part two coming to the message, you would think. Hallelujah. Scaling back. Why go to every party? Why not? I'm sorry I put that in there. Yeah. I'm into Christmas, folks. I'm trying to help us out. How many know the Lord's trying to help us make this more meaningful so it's not a frenzy and looks like throwing food into a fish pond and piranhas. Yeah, and we'd get thrown in with them. Why attend every function? Why volunteer for every opportunity? I'm not suggesting we become reclusive. Don't cut out all your celebrations or bypass every opportunity for sharing Christmas cheer with those around you. We'll talk about the joy of serving others in the next article. That's on the frosted window panes. But I think you'll agree that the better moments of Christmas are often the quieter ones. We need time for reflection, for rest. Well, that was a good place to say amen right there. We need time for rest, for contemplation. I don't even have time to think. I mean, you're so busy, you don't even have time to think. Come on. Sometimes it's just ridiculous, isn't it? If you don't think that's true, ask a mother with little children. Uh-huh. And then ask the one with the bigger children. Mm-hmm. All right, we won't go there. All right. If that means declining a few obligations or opportunities along the way, think of it as setting boundaries. Amen. How many know we all have to have boundaries? Children need boundaries. If children don't have boundaries, they feel insecure. If you let children do anything they want to do, when they want to stay up late as they want to do, eat with everything they want, you'll have a 500-pound kid at 12 years old, amen, and a kid that stays up all night. All right. We need boundaries. They don't like them. How many know nobody likes boundaries? Boundaries are for safety. That's why the line is down the middle of the road over there, so you don't go on the other side. We need boundaries. We need perimeters. There's safety there. Come on. December is busy for all of us. Amen. It was pretty hectic for Joseph and Mary, too. But there should be peaceful places in the midst of the confusion. There should be meditation. There should be adoration. So get out your calendar and look at the month. Block off certain hours or days or nights for quietness. Remember what Isaiah said, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That word confidence has been coming up more and more and more, at least in my life. Because there's a lot of things trying to shake our confidence. Let me talk to somebody. I mean literally trying to shatter your confidence. Uh-huh. But I heard God say several times to me, confidence. Confident, be confident. I'm confident this one thing, that he that has begun a good work is going to finish it. Confidence. But how many know it's not hard to lose confidence? Come on, I want to talk to somebody. It's not hard to lose confidence in your marriage. You can even lose confidence in your church, confidence in your leaders, confidence in the nation, confidence in your financial institution, confidence on your job with your boss. It's not hard. Confidence with one another, spouse. Confidence is a what shall I say, it's not a shaky thing, but it's precarious. You can lose it. You ever seen a singer lose their confidence? See a boxer lose their confidence? See a player lose their confidence? See a CEO lose their confidence? See a pastor lose his confidence? A husband lose his confidence? A wife? It can happen. You get enough pressure, you get enough stress, you get things going on, and pretty soon you ain't confident about anybody or anything. Not even sure that you're going to make it through what you're going through. While you're at it, we are by faith believing that you're at it, set some financial boundaries too. Somebody say, that's not hard. Sometimes it is. But it's a good thought, is it not? A simple gift, lovingly given, is just as wonderful as an expensive one. I may believe that. I may be honest and say, I don't believe a word of that. That's a damnable lie. But it's nice in theory, is it not? We better not go into that because you may have got some of those kind of presents. And well, it's the thought that counts. Yeah, well, this is going to count too. Pow! I'm gonna give you this right where the thought came from. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Can we keep this real? But a simple loving gift can be special too. Proverbs 17:1 says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Yeah. The joy of our Christmas isn't found in more and more presents, but in the presence of more and more peace. Wow. Budget your resources. Time, money, and energy. How many know you have to have enough to budget? Some 20 years ago, I had one of the leaders that had an eye on my position accused me of stealing money. I was gone for a weekend to preach at a church I'd pastored before to help the pastor get the flock together. They'd all scattered, and because of a pastor that had come in after me and just did some weird things. So I came back, and I hear this. So we get the board together, 10 o'clock at night. We open up the checkbook, and we find the check that he said he saw me cash. Well, it was a voided check. And thank God I was able to find it in the financial things. And then I kind of mentioned, I thought to myself, before you accuse me of stealing money, at least we ought to have some money so we can steal. We ain't got enough money in this church to steal. See how dumb the devil is? You should have waited till we got some money. I mean, no, integrity, the Bible says, upholds you. You want to be upheld? You got to have integrity. How many have been upheld this long? You got this far because you had some integrity. Amen. Integrity upholds you. And when these trials come and things happen, God will uphold you because integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. It's what you do that you could do that you don't do because you know God. You're answering to God. Amen. 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 Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I did steal that cookie, though, the other day. That was a good cookie. No, I didn't steal it. You gave it to me. Hallelujah. Well, budget your resources. Lord, give me some resources to budget. Some more. But you got to budget even what you got. Come on. Budget your time. You have to make time, don't you? Budget your money. Budget your energy. All these are resources. You've got to budget it. They're not indispensable. They're not inexhaustible resources. Nothing is inexhaustible except the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do everything. That's a novel thought for someone. Uh-oh. Sister needs hands laid on her up here, Pastor. You don't have to spend every dollar. No, you have grandchildren that'll do that for you. Or children. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. You don't have to spend every dollar, and you don't have to strain every nerve. Adopt an attitude of worship. Somebody say, set some boundaries. And remember, C is for Christ. I think Dr. David Jeremiah's got a good word here, don't you? The most important thing this season is seeking a spiritual connection to Jesus. We can miss the whole season if we're not careful. And we can do that wherever we are. Sometimes the simpler our settings, the greater our understanding. About the time Meredith Wilson was writing, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And we're taking that in the positive, are we not? A missionary in Asia was discovering a very different side of that truth. Jeffrey T. Bull. How'd you like to have a name like that? T. Bull. Amen. I bet he had some problems growing up in school. Amen. Was a Scottish worker in Tibet. China. Tibet. It's near China, isn't it? Yeah. The communists seized him and drove him across frozen mountains until he despaired of life. Late one afternoon, they staggered into a small village where Bull was given an upstairs room. After a meager supper, he was sent downstairs to feed the horses. It was dark and cold. It's only right that Bull should feed the horses. Amen. You'll get that about 3 o'clock this afternoon. It was dark and cold. He clambered down the notched tree trunk to find himself in blackness. His boots squished in the manure and straw on the floor. The fetid smell, or the stinking smell of animals, was nauseating. The missionary expected to be kicked any moment. Quote, then I continued to grope my way in the darkness, he later wrote. It suddenly flashed into my mind, what's today? I thought for a moment. In traveling, the days had become a little muddled in my mind. How many have had your days become a little muddled in your mind? What day is this? Where am I? Who am I? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Okay, take him away. I mean, no, sometimes like that. Do you? Anybody wonder sometimes what day it is? It just goes so fast. What day is this? So it's not just me? Okay, all right. I'm not losing it then. Okay. It's Christmas Eve. Suddenly it came to him, to me. I stood suddenly still in the Oriental manger. To think that my Savior was born in a place like this. To think that he came all the way from heaven to some wretched eastern stable. And what is more, to think that he came for me. How men beautify the cross and the crib as if to hide the fact that at birth we resigned him to the stench of beasts and at death exposed him to the shame of rogues. I returned to the warm, clean room, which I enjoyed even as a prisoner, bowed in thankfulness and worship. Hallelujah. How many know that our lives, everybody's life, is not always roses? Huh? Everything is not always beautiful. Sometimes there are just some stinking things that go on. Huh? Yeah. And a lot of it sure not fair at times. But I like what he did. He bowed in thankfulness and worship. Wow. Even though he had animal manure on his boots, the stench in his nostrils, his priorities were right. He bowed in worship. At least he had a warm room. Ooh. In God's sight, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Whenever we rediscover the simplicity of his love and bow down in thankfulness and worship, that's in God's sight. Wherever we are and whatever our circumstances. And we have wherever and whatever in this room, in this sanctuary. We have A to Z, whatever and wherever. If we were to take time to ask each one, is everything beautiful? Well, some things, not everything. That's when we begin seeing ourselves more clearly and learn to take time for Jesus. Our priorities make more sense when we have an attitude of worship, when we set boundaries, and we focus on Christ. Can we pray this little prayer that's given to us? Let's pray it together. Lord, this season, help people say of me, it's beginning to look a lot like Jesus. Grant me a joyful mind instead of jangled nerves, a quiet spirit instead of frenzied schedule. And may the carol that I sing be one that boasts of the one who lives right within my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come, let us adore him. Hallelujah. Oh, come, let us adore him. Would you stand with me? If we could like to sing that song, but I'm not sure we have everybody in the sanctuary. We want to, as we stand together in his presence, I want you to please understand that I'm not suggesting we dial down our celebration. Amen? We saw last week God is a God of celebration. He's a God of the feasts. Hallelujah. He's a happy God. He's a joyful. I mean, he loves to see us celebrate. And I love to celebrate him. Celebrate. Isn't there a song like that? Celebrate. Yeah. Yeah. And so we're not going to dial it down, but God is going to help us. And he's going to show us places where we can do something here, do something there. A little something there. We're going to hear the Holy Spirit tell us, no, not that, that. Amen? You don't have to feel pressured to do all of that. You don't have to get a present for all the world. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to put yourself in the poorhouse because you're trying to make everybody happy, because everybody expects something from you. Glory to God. I feel some liberating in here right now. I feel like God is just setting us free from some real, some false expectations. Amen. And areas. Rather, let's keep Jesus Christ at the center of the celebration. Amen. After all, we can never celebrate the coming of the Lord too much. Next week, we have something for the bulletin on the scriptures of the first coming of Christ and the second coming. You're going to enjoy it from the end times prophetic word. And so rejoice in God's blessing this Christmas as we lift his son for all the world to see. Rejoice in this Christmas. I said rejoice in this Christmas for all the world to see. Hallelujah. I walk into Kmart and they think I'm a little touched because I have a smile on my face. There's something wrong with that brother over there. Amen. Yeah, he's kind of simple, I guess. He just has a smile all the time. Well, I've got something to smile about. Hallelujah. Every day is a celebration. Does that mean everything is perfect? No. But he's always perfect. And as long as I have the perfect one, he makes everything beautiful in its time. Oh, my God. And so I want to say from our house to yours, from First Lady and myself, we want to wish you the most meaningful Christmas season ever. We pray this month is a blessing like you have never experienced, or at least comparable to one of your best in your memory. And that God will exceed that. That God will from this service begin as we are in his presence. As the Spirit of God is moving in this place right now, I feel his presence. God is concerned about you. You that are in families. You that have no family, but you're in the family of God. You will find that reading on frosted window panes and the little deal to put up to put somebody's name in there that God puts on your heart that may be alone this Christmas. Someone God puts on our heart. God wants this to be a time of rejoicing and celebration. Because he's happy you were born. Amen. What Job said, curse the day I was born. I may know life can bring you there. Wish I'd have never been born. I wish mom would have sat on me. Amen. Mom did, but I got here anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Trying to be serious. Glory to God. I got too much joy, folks. Joy. Jesus is joy. And I just feel like God wants this to be the best Christmas ever for you. Regardless of money or lack of money, regardless of what you have or you don't have, you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, this can be the best season, the best time of the year. Glory to God. Now, Father, I ask you to make it so. Would you lift your hand to the one? Father, I ask you right now, not just for them, but for their families, the families that are represented here. I thank you, Father, for your word today. I thank you for making this the most beautiful time of the year. And Father, I come against anything that would spoil that. I renounce and reject and resist any attempt of the enemy to spoil this celebration, this holy day, this holiday. I pray from this moment forward that there will be such an influx, such an outpouring of the rain that we worshiped you about earlier. That there would come a outpouring. You said if we would ask of you rain, Zechariah 10, that you would make bright clouds here in the day of the latter day. And so, Father, I pray for bright clouds. Wherever there are dark clouds, you said you would make bright clouds. You can make it out of what's there. You're a creator. You can make it out of what's not there. Father, I'm asking you because you are the great creator God. Father, I ask you to move in ways that will help us to see the reality of this Christmas season being the best Christmas season of any we have ever celebrated. I'm asking you to do that, Lord, for each and every one. I thank you for helping us already to begin to slow down in some areas. Are there areas we need to pick it up or we may have to pick it up? But, Father, I thank you where you're showing us to set the boundaries and when to say yes and when to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And giving us wisdom, Lord. And leaving, as you said to us a few weeks ago, leaving the outcomes to you. We trust you. We thank you. We do what we can. Do what is wise. Out of love. And Lord, we leave the rest to you. Cover us. Cover us in this hour, in this nation, in these cities, in our homes. Father, at this time, I thank you for what you're doing. This will be the best month, I believe, as we move into it. You have prepared special things for us, and we have prepared special things for you, Lord. And we are preparing even more in this celebration of your first coming. I thank you. I praise you. I bless each one now in your name. Now may the Lord bless you. Reach out and receive your blessing. And the Lord keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you in your house, your celebration. Be gracious to you. May his grace cover you. Cover everything about us, especially this season as we move year ending into a new year. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And the Lord most of all give you peace. Peace in his presence. May you feel his presence like maybe you have never known it before. May you see his hand move and work. May you see the miracle of Christmas in ways that you have never experienced it. I pray, God, that this will be a miracle season for you, that God will move miraculously in signs and wonders. God, I thank you. I'm expecting much because you're a big God. You're a good God. I thank you, Father, for making this Christmas everything you want it to be for those you love so much and gave yourself for. We love you. We bless you. We adore you. We worship you. We come, oh, come, let us adore him, Jesus Christ the Lord. God bless you. Merry Christmas season. God be with you and have a great week and have a great Christmas season. Amen. God bless you.